tonight and go to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 6. I want to read verses 15 through 18. So Judges chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. 15 through 17. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Father, we do thank you for the good day that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the songs that remind us, Father, of who we are to anchor ourselves in. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who calms the storms, the one that carries us through the storms, the one that encourages us in the middle of the storm. Thank you, Father, that you've given us the faith, Lord, to believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And Father, that faith continues to grow. And we thank you, Father, for helping us to build our faith. And Father, I ask that you would help us just to learn some things tonight, to be reminded of the truths of your word, and obviously, as always, to be, Lord, drawn closer to you. Father, we ask that you bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're very familiar with this segment of scripture about Gideon. Gideon being one of the judges in the times of the judges, God raising Gideon up to deliver the Israelites out of the oppression of the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the people from the east as well. Verse number 3 tells us that. So it's not just the Midianites. It was a combination of three different nations that were oppressing the Israelites, and they cried out to the Lord, and God's going to save them. But God always wants to use somebody to do that. He always raises up someone that is already humble, submitted to the Lord, that God can use to show great and mighty things, and not only that person's life, but in the lives that are being touched in that moment. Again, I don't want to go into all the details about what's going on. We know the Midianites are under oppression. We know that God's going to save them. But I want us to see where Gideon's faith is built by grace. We talked about grace this morning in the early service. We even talked about that. I think, you know, we kind of even touched on it in Sunday school as well. But again, great faith is always developed. No one's born with great faith. Not even when someone first gets saved. I think about Paul. Paul, when he got saved on the road to Damascus, he just obeyed what the Lord said. Okay, what am I supposed to do now? The Lord said, well, you know, go ahead and go on to Damascus, and you're just going to sit there and you're going to wait. That's what he did. For 3 days, he waited until someone came to him that God had sent to him. So, I mean, just three things we're going to see tonight in the life of Gideon. Number one is that he was humble. He was obedient and he was faithful. He was humble, he was obedient, and he was faithful. And that is what gave him the success in accomplishing what God gave him to accomplish. Because what God wanted Gideon to do was completely out of his control. It was above anything he could do. But it was going to be God that would give the victory as long as Gideon remained humble, obeyed the Lord, and was faithful to follow through on what God had given him to do. Now, when you look at verse number 12, we just see that Gideon is a humble man. In verse number 12, or actually, you know, back up to verse number 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abarizite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now remember, God always sees what we're doing. And though Gideon is in a time of oppression, the Midianites would come and take everything they had, destroy their gardens, destroy their fields. If they found them with just any type of food, they would take it from them. But Gideon, obviously humbling himself, knowing that his family needs to be taken care of, others need to be taken care of, he puts his life on the line. He's in the wine press threshing wheat. And it just shows the character that he's willing to count the cost and to go above and beyond to make sure others have what they need. So, I mean, we just see Gideon truly is a humble man in the beginnings, just his actions. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That is a sign of humility, denying what I want, denying even my, in Gideon's case, denying his own safety. I mean, he's putting his neck on the line to supply for his family. He's very humble where he thinks more of somebody else. And the Bible tells us that we are to prefer others. That doesn't mean, you know, you need to go out there and always, you know, put your life on the line for somebody. But are we willing to step out of our comfort zone to help somebody? Are we willing to go out of our way and to obey what God wants us to do? Gideon only was not humble, but he was submissive as well. In order for our faith to continue growing, we have to be humble and we have to be submissive. Look at verses 14 and 15. Verses 14, the Lord looked upon him, looked upon Gideon, and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my father, or my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. Gideon just, he knows he's not anybody important. He knows he's, you know, well, God's choosing me because, you know, he knew where he could find the best man to do the job. Oh, Gideon is, Lord, I'm the least in my father's house and our family's the least in our tribe. I mean, so he's humble and he's submissive. I mean, he knows God wants to use him. And he'll ask the Lord, you know, to kind of, you know, help his faith a little bit, you know, with the fleece and all of that. But just the fact that he has grace in his life to be humble. Remember, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Gideon has found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He's found favor with God, and God wants to use him to do something great. There's not a single person in this room that God doesn't want to use in some capacity. Some of you are already teaching Sunday school classes. The young people, at some point, God will give you an opportunity to serve in the church. Us older people, there's something for everybody to do. There's something God wants us to do. Sometimes it may not be necessarily in the church. It may be among your family. It may be in the workplace. There's things that God asks us to do at different times because, yes, God can do it without us, but he wants to do it through us because he wants to show it's him and not us. There's several accounts in Scripture that I love. I love the account of Gideon because it shows the grace of God in someone's life. It shows someone that's being submissive, obedient, and just trusting what God is going to do. All throughout Scripture, I mean, even with Samson, God just using a man and giving him supernatural strength when the Spirit of God would come upon him. I mean, again, with Noah, there's just many all throughout Scripture where it's God doing the work. God has chosen to use people to accomplish his will. Does he need us? We weren't there on the day of creation. He didn't need any of us to plant gardens. He spoke the Garden of Eden into existence, this beautiful garden. But he does want to use us to impact the lives of others. And he chooses Gideon to do this task that is beyond his ability, but God sees a person's heart. Why did God choose David to be the second king of Israel? Because he had a heart for God. He was known as a man after God's own heart. God knew that David would take the skills he learned as a young shepherd boy to lead the people of Israel, to lead God's people. He would take the heart of a shepherd and he would lead God's people. And that's what God does. He assesses our heart. He looks at our heart and he uses us according to the ability that he's given us, according to the humility and the obedience and the faith that we have. And God is the one that does the work. Now in verses 14, we just see Gideon's humble reaction to the Lord. Verse 15, he says, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." Again, understanding that, you know, it's better to say, "Lord, I am nobody. You're choosing me, but you must be choosing me for a reason. So I'll submit to that and humble myself to that." In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, remember, this is Jesus speaking to Paul when he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." It is God's grace at work in our life that helps our faith to continue growing and to become great faith, that we hear God's word, we obey God's word, and we fulfill God's word in our life, what it is God wants us to do. Now in verse 16, God confirms the answer to Gideon. Gideon, in verse 15, he's like, you know, "Well, who am I? I'm not really anybody. I mean, I always, why would you choose me? I'm sure there's other people you can choose." But you know what? Remember, the Bible says that God does not choose the wise. He doesn't choose the strong. He chooses the things that do not make sense to people, because it's God that needs to get the glory and not man. That's why I believe that Samson was not some bodybuilder. He was not someone that had great biceps and all of this, because then people would look at him and, "Well, of course he can bench press 400 pounds. Of course he can carry the gates of the city off. Look at him." But he was a man, an ordinary man, with no muscles whatsoever. But the Bible says that when the Spirit of God came upon him, then he had his strength. Because it is the strength of the Lord. That is where we get our strength, is God giving it to us. But here in verse 16, God confirms his answer to Gideon. "The Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee." That's a wonderful answer to get from God when God presses upon your heart and shows you that he wants you to do something that's out of your comfort zone, something that's really beyond your capability. And God says, "Surely I will be with thee." That's comforting to know. Well, you know what? If God's calling me to do it, he definitely will enable me to do it. And I can trust him. And not only does God say, "I'll be with you," but God guarantees Gideon success. He guarantees him victory. Because then in that same verse 16, "And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." God guarantees the victory for Gideon because God is going to be with him. And again, Gideon was humble enough to know, you know what? I can trust God. He was submissive enough to God's will. Though it didn't make sense to him, he still needed some security, some confidence. He still wanted God to just assure his heart that this was truly what God wanted him to do. Because listen, not everything that comes to our mind is from God. Not everything we think we should do is God telling us to do it. Now, David had a heart for God, and at the end of David's life, he wanted to build a temple for God. Because he talked about, "I'm dwelling in houses made out of cedar. I'm dwelling in fine palaces. And the Ark of the Covenant is in a tent." And he wanted to build an elaborate temple to show his love and appreciation to God, and to show, you know what, God deserves better than what I have. And the prophet even told David, "Do whatever is in your heart. Do all that's in your heart. God's with you." And the prophet wasn't lying. God was with them. So David was going to set out and he was going to build a temple, but then God tells the prophet, go back and tell David, no, because your hands are full of blood. You're a man of war. You've killed people. God says, it's not going to be you, it's going to be your son. And your son's going to build it in the time of peace. And Solomon is the one that ends up building it. David had a heart for it, but God said, no, I don't want you doing it. Paul had a heart to go into a certain part of Asia Minor, but the Holy Spirit forbade him. We got to be careful that we also don't just do things we want to do and say, well, you know, God told me to do it. Or if God doesn't want me to do it, he'll stop me. That's not being humble before God. That's not being submissive to the will of God. That's not seeking God's direction. You and I will know plainly when God speaks to our heart about something, when God wants us to do something. Because as soon as God speaks to our heart, our flesh will resist it. There'll be this resistance. But again, God tells Gideon, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. God gives him an answer to confirm that, yes, I will be with you. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You and I know that God's working in our heart, changing us from the inside out. We have to remain humble and submissive to the grace of God in our life as God continues to work on our faith and continues to strengthen our faith, mold us more into the image of Christ, and uses us to serve people as though we are serving him. Never stop serving the Lord. Serving the Lord is to serve others. It is to be submissive and obedient to the will of God in our life. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says this real quick, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Again, when you first look at Gideon and Gideon's response back to God, and even with the fleece, at first glance, it would seem like Gideon doesn't believe God. And Gideon wants, okay, Lord, I want you to make the fleece dry. Okay, Lord, I want you to make the fleece wet and the ground dry. I mean, it seems like Gideon doesn't trust the Lord. But have you ever been in a spiritual point in your life where you needed God to encourage you and strengthen your faith? And I know God wants me to. I know God can. But Lord, would you just confirm to me that you actually want to use me? You actually want to do this in my life? It's not that Gideon's not believing God. He wants to know for a surety that God actually wants to use him to do it. Again, we don't need to just everything that comes from our mind go run and do it. We need to make sure it's God. In the New Testament, it tells us to try the spirits. We're to try the spirits. Again, the devil's never going to tell us to do something good, all right? The devil's never going to tell you to talk to someone about Jesus. In fact, he's going to tell you the opposite. No, you don't need to say anything. But when God purposely comes to you and burdens your heart about something, the best thing for us to do is to seek God in prayer, and that is what Gideon does with the fleece. He seeks God. And you know what it does when God answers his prayer request? It strengthens his faith and his resolve, and he just goes and does what God wants him to do. Now, do we know that God can do anything? Absolutely. Do we know that God can use us if he wants to? Yeah. But again, there's times where, you know what, Lord, will you just help me to know without a doubt that this is what you're wanting to do? Because I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to jump into something and do something that's not going to work out because it's me doing it. One of the examples in my own life that I can use is just moving to Michigan. It was probably almost a year before I even came to Michigan to candidate in this church, that I felt in my heart that God was going to move me on. That within a year, I wouldn't be where I was, that I was going to be somewhere else. And I sought the Lord because I didn't want it just to be me, you know, thinking, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. I didn't want it to be me making the decisions. I wanted to make sure, you know, it was the Lord. And I sought some counsel from some other men. I sought the Lord in prayer and just, okay, Lord, if this, I'm not going to seek it. You know, I'm not going to run. If this is what you want, then you've got to make it happen. What I'm saying is, and God did. God started putting things in order. And the burden in my heart just grew and grew and grew. And finally, just some things worked out, came here, candidated. You know, again, the rest is history. So much so that when I was in Wisconsin pastoring, and some folks already know this, when I was pastoring that the other church there in Wisconsin, I was there for 7 years pastoring, and I tried selling my house 4 times with 3 different realtors. Never would sell. In fact, if I remember right, I don't even think we had one person come and look at the house. Except for, I did have one police officer come and look at it because someone had put our information out there saying we were wanting to rent the house, and that was a fiasco. Somebody was trying to take advantage. But someone actually wanting to buy the house in 4 years or 4 different times, no. But when the time came and just things were being all just lining up, it sold. What I'm saying is, if God is pressing upon your heart for something, seek Him diligently to get confirmation that it is the Lord, and He will. God's not afraid to prove to us it's His will. It's not a lack of faith. It's wanting confirmation. Lord, I just want to make sure that this is exactly what you want me to do. And in verse 36 and 37 of Judges chapter 6, we see that God gives grace for the obedient. And Gideon was obedient in just following what God wanted him to do. In verse 36, Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." Again, Gideon is saying, you know, I need some confidence here. I need some assurance that this truly is you. Now, yes, we can look back and say, well, of course, it's an angel of God speaking to you. We hear a soft, still voice, and we kind of go, is this God? Is this not God? It's the same concept, though. He just wants assurance that, God, this is what you want me to do. And if you were to read on, you know, God does what he asks. Okay, Lord, but now will you flip it around? If the ground is wet and the fleece is dry, okay. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, we need that at times. It's not a lack of faith. It's, Lord, I just want to know for a surety that this is what you want. I don't want to act on my repulsiveness or my what is that called? I always get sidetracked trying to remember words. My wife's not in here. She reads my mind. She can tell me exactly what I'm thinking. Anyway, I'll say it this way. Gideon did not want to just act upon some thought he had. He wanted just to make sure this is exactly what God wanted him to do, and he was obedient to do. And you know what? At the same time, his faith is being developed to be able to do. God hasn't said what he's doing yet. I'm going to use you to deliver the Israelites from Midianites. He hasn't told them how he's going to do it yet. He's kind of developing his faith a little more. I'm going to use you. Yes, I don't mind showing you and proving to you that this is my will. Sure, I'll make the ground dry, the fleece wet. Sure, I'll make the ground wet, the fleece dry. No problem, because again, God knows the heart. He knows that Gideon isn't doubting. Gideon just, you know what? Lord, I just want to make sure. And then when God proves, yes, this is what I want, Gideon does it. But the thing is, we have to be willing to spend some time with God to get the answer and to get the confidence that we need. Abraham was willing to have a discussion with God because God said, shall I hide this thing from Abraham that I'm about to do? He was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And God says, shall I hide this thing from Abraham? And God has a conversation with Abraham, and Abraham says, oh Lord, will you destroy it if there's 50 righteous? God says, if I can find 50 righteous, I won't destroy the city. Abraham says, okay, good. But then Abraham got to thinking, wait a minute, what if there's not 50? Okay, Lord, and you know, he dwindles it down to 10. He keeps talking to God. God, what if 30, 20? Hey, God, 10. And God was willing to talk with Abraham. You know what? If I can find 10 righteous, I won't destroy the city. Have you ever had a conversation like that with God? Or do you find yourself sometimes scared to have a conversation like that with God? Because, man, God's high lifted upon his throne. I mean, God is God. Why? Who am I to have a conversation like that? If God wants to destroy a city, who am I to stand in his way? That's the thing. He tests our faith. He tests our heart. He told Abraham what he was going to do, and Abraham, wait a minute, I got some family down there. Lord, and he has that conversation. He's willing to have that conversation. You know, God wants to have a conversation with you. He's not afraid to show us reality. He's not afraid to show us, yeah, this is what I want. Because even in Malachi, I love the way it's worded in Malachi. God says, prove me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you cannot receive. I always have this image in my mind of just standing there, God opening up the heaven and me just being drowned, you know, where you can't even see me anymore, just in this blessing. But God says, prove me. Prove me. To me, that's a wonderful God who's not afraid to show himself. He's not afraid, okay, you want me to encourage you and help you to truly have strong faith and great faith, this is what I want you to do? Okay, I can do that. I can do that. I mean, think about the Father that came to Jesus. I believe, but help my unbelief. Now, if people in Nazareth would have had that mindset and that heart, Lord, we've seen you grow up here. Would you help us to understand that you are truly the Christ? Because they saw the miracles, but they denied him because they were familiar with him, familiar with his family, and they wouldn't believe except for a couple that got saved. I believe that there would have been some there that said, well, I'm kind of struggling with this, Lord. I mean, I'm kind of familiar with this, but I know that you can. So, Lord, will you help me to be more on your side than on my understanding side? Because isn't that what Proverbs tells us? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge the Lord, and he shall direct thy paths. Again, here in Judges 6, we see that Gideon's faith is being developed. Someone once said, faith is listening to what God says in his word and acting on it. Faith is listening to what God says in his word. And Gideon says in verse 37, as thou hast said. He says, if you'll do this, then as you have said, I'll do that. All right, he's acting upon what God has said. If you're familiar with D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, back in the 1800s, he said this, I prayed for faith and it did not come. You know, I've done that before. Lord, give me the faith. And I sit there and I wait. I prayed for faith and it did not come, but when I read the word of God, then it came. Because when we read God's word, we see what God can do. And if God can do it for pick anybody in the Bible, well, surely he can do it for me. Surely he can come through for me in my life. Surely he wants to use me. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the Bible tells us. Look at chapter 7, moving on very quickly. Chapter 7 of Judges, look at verse 2 and 3. Now we know that God's developing Gideon's faith there with the fleece. Because once God does what he asked both times, then Gideon has the confidence he needs that this is exactly what God wants him to do, and he is ready to fulfill God's will. He's ready to be obedient, and we see his faith displayed in verses 2 and 3 of chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Again, that's why I believe Samson was not a muscular man. Now, he might have been muscular, you know, in just the sense of health-wise, but as far as a bodybuilder, I don't believe so, because then again, he'd get the glory. Because what is it that he told Delilah would take his strength away? Cut my hair. And that's exactly what she did. And exactly what happened was he lost his strength. So again, in order for God to get the glory, God uses the weak things. He uses the weak things. Again, he says, the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return, depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Now he goes on to dwindle it down to 300. In fact, you know what? Read on. Look at verse 4. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people yet are too many. Okay, Lord, how can it be too many? 22,000 went home. I'm left with 10,000. And God says it's still too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them there for thee. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. Again, you know the rest of it. Gets down, he only has 300. It's just Gideon and 300 men going up against thousands. If you go back, let's see here. Oh, my eyes are failing me. Help me out, Dylan. What's the number of the Midianites? 11. It should have been just right there. All right, my eyes are failing me. I know it's right around here. Chapter 6. Chapter 7. No. All right, your homework tonight is to find out the answer. Now, verse 3, that's how many of the Israelites returned. And well, you already know this account. You already know that the Midianites have more people than Gideon does. But just thinking about the fact that Gideon just had to have faith that God knew what he was doing. Dwindling it down to 300. I mean, you can kind of see the confidence that he has with 32,000 men on his side, because 22,000 went home first. He's left with 10,000. That's dwindling down to 300. So you can imagine Gideon, he's able to drum up, 32,000 men that are willing to go with him to battle. But 22,000 of them are kind of scared, so they go home. And this is just the way God operates, because God wants the glory in our life. God wanted the glory in the life of Gideon. God wanted the glory in the life of Daniel. God wanted the glory in the life of Esther. I mean, remember, Esther had to go in before the king and petition for the lives of her people. When there was a law written, no one comes before the king without the king calling you. And if you just happen to just pop in and show up, you better pray and hope the king extends that golden scepter to accept you into his presence. What I'm saying is, God is still strengthening and building Gideon's faith. Because he's got 32,000. Okay, 22,000. Okay, we're still good. 10,000. I mean, we're still outnumbered, but 10,000 is better than nothing. Okay, now we're going against them with 300. But he never loses faith. Do you know a lot of Christians, unless God does it exactly the way they want it, they will not step out on faith and trust God when God tells them to do something? They just do not fully trust that God is capable of doing anything unless they see with their own eyes that God can do it. But that's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we're talking about our faith being built by the grace of God in our life. Now Gideon, his faith was being developed. He displayed his faith by doing what God said, allowing 22,000 to go home, allowing the rest to go home, and only being left with 300. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." Now, a human's first thought would be, wait a minute, why is God doing this? Why is he taking away so much and leaving me with so little? Remember, this is a verse we always need to remember, is God never has thoughts of evil towards his children, but thoughts of peace. Thoughts of doing something great and mighty in our life. In verse 13 of chapter 7 here, when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, "Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along." I mean, God allowed Gideon to hear somebody tell of his dream. Now, you know the end of this account is victory. But look at verse 16 through 18 in Judges chapter 7. We know that there's victory. We know the 300 men have the trumpets. They have the pitchers. They break the pitchers. They have the torches. They blow the trumpet, all that stuff. We know that they get a great victory. But did they have to guess about what God wanted them to do? I mean, God told Gideon, okay, I'm going to use you. You're going to deliver the people from the hands of the Midianites. So did Gideon have to figure out what to do? Did Joshua have to figure out what to do as the leader? Did David have to figure it out, or were they guided? Did God give them a clear plan? In Judges chapter 7, you look at verse 16. He, Gideon, divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, because this is what God told Gideon to do. And Gideon's relaying this to the 300 men. Do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. Kind of sounds like Paul when Paul said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. It kind of sounds like Joshua when Joshua got to the end of his life and said, as far as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You choose who you're going to serve. Serve God, serve God. Serve Baal, you know, serve the other. But as far as me, we're going to serve the Lord. And here, Gideon is saying, do like I do, because he's doing what God told him to do. In verse 18, when I blow with a trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now, why does he say, and Gideon? Well, because that man had a dream, and he relayed to his comrades there in the camp, it was the sword of Gideon. But obviously, Gideon wants to make sure that God is recognized, because it's the sword of the Lord. It is God that gives the victory, and Gideon being the one that's following the command and the plan that God gives. God always gives a clear plan of what he wants us to do in our life, what he wants us to do in every situation that he places in our life. Matthew 19, verse 26 says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Jesus said that when Jesus said this when his disciples said, who can be saved then? Because Jesus had said before that it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. Now, you and I know that God's the God of the impossible. God can do anything with a few or none. But again, like I said this morning with Noah, God chooses to use people and to use his people to do his will. You and I have to continue having the heart, here am I, Lord, what would you have me to do? And when God shows us what he wants us to do, and he shows us in his word how to live the Christian life, he shows us in his word how to be faithful, how to be obedient, he shows us how to live an upright life, he shows us in his word how to trust him, how to follow him, how to rely upon him, he gives us the clear plan for our life. We just have to follow it. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Again, looking on the outside, looking in on what's going on with Gideon, looking through human eyes, it doesn't make sense to send 300 men up against hundreds of thousands of Midianites. It doesn't make sense to have innocent people walk around the walls of Jericho for 7 days and don't say anything, and just trust that God will keep their armies from coming out and attacking while we walk around basically defenseless. God's way never makes sense because his ways are higher than our ways. But to the believer, it makes sense to trust God. I've trusted him with my life. I've trusted him with my eternity. I can surely trust him to use me how he wants to use me. Just listen to the words in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Gideon had to fully trust what God wanted to do. He had to fully trust that God knew what he was doing. He had to fully trust that God would accomplish God's will through Gideon. Gideon just had to be a submissive vessel that God would use. It was God's wisdom, God's strength. that helped Gideon to accomplish what God wanted to be accomplished. We have to continue growing in our faith by trusting God even when it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me how wicked the world has gotten. It doesn't make sense to me why God doesn't set things straight now. It doesn't make sense to me why God doesn't come back now. I think the world's pretty wicked. I think we're living in the days of Noah. I'm thinking, how can it get any worse? Oh, just wait. It can get worse. What I'm saying is we have to continue trusting God and never turning back on that faith. I fully trust God sees, God knows, and God will act according to His will. But as we're waiting on the return of Christ, we have to continue being willing vessels that God can use. He still wants to use us. Has there ever been a time in your life where you didn't let God use you because you didn't want to do what God wanted you to do? Jonah didn't want to. And Jonah wasn't just somebody that God said, okay, I'll pick you. No, he was a man of God. He spoke for God. He was one of the minor prophets to Israel. And yet, when God said, I want you to go to Nineveh, he didn't want to go. He would have done anything God asked him but that one thing. He didn't want to go so much that he got on a ship headed in the opposite direction from where God wanted him to go. I'm glad that God does not let us off the hook that easy. He lets us go a little bit. If you know anything about fishing, sometimes you kind of let that fish kind of take that hook before you set it. God let Jonah run a little bit until he got into the whale's belly. And God set the hook. Because after 3 days and three nights of Jonah not dying, Jonah realized God was not going to let him off the hook that easy. He wasn't going to let him go that easy. God gives him a chance to do what God wanted him to do. Gave him a second chance. Now, when you read the book of Jonah, it's Jonah that's writing his own biography. He's writing what he didn't do and then what he did and how he did it with a bad attitude. Because Jonah goes to Nineveh, but he has a bad attitude about it, because then he goes and sits on the hill and waits for their destruction. And then even tells God later, I knew you'd show mercy, because that's who you are. But Jonah didn't want them to have mercy. He didn't want them to have the grace of God. And Jonah knew that God would show mercy if they repented. Look, what I'm saying and what I want us to just be reminded of tonight is it's not up to us what God does. What's up to us is that we continue to follow God, we continue to obey God's leading, and we're faithful at following the Lord. We're faithful at allowing God to work in our life. We're faithful at letting God give us the victories. Because God gave a sure victory to Gideon and those 300 men that were with him. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 reminds us, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Sometimes a task may be hard. Sometimes it may be trying. But again, if our anchor holds fast in Christ, we know where our strength comes from. We know where encouragement comes from. We know the one who will help us get the victory that God's already shown us. Again, as we continue to think about just the grace of God in our life, it is God's grace that's at work in our life. Let's never get to a point where we stop letting God work on us and guide us and use us. Because God wants to do great and mighty things in the lives of His people, And it's not up to the world to dictate what we do. It's up to us to be surrendered to the will of God and be honest with God. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, I know you want me to, but Lord, would you just help me to have some confidence, not in myself, but confidence in you, that I know that you're with me, but Lord, would you just help me to be assured that you are guiding me? Again, we have a wonderful God who is willing to just help us be confident in him, that we will get the victory.